Steve Dale's Petcast. Pets are always there for you. They're a dependable source of unconditional love and support. For a short time, they're your best friend. But for them, you're their best friend for their entire lives. This is Steve Dale's Petcast, brought to you by Farm to Pet, single ingredient pet treats. Visit farmtopettreats.com.
Yes, another day, another Petcast from WGN. Dr. Renee Schmidt is the Director of Veterinary Medicine and the Senior Veterinary Toxicologist at the Pet Poison Helpline. And boy, oh boy, if there's a month where pet parents, I think, need help more than any other, it is in December, because so much can go wrong. But Dr. Schmidt, I think a lot of what can go wrong is typically avoidable. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely avoidable. But I think us as humans being humans, we get so preoccupied with all the different activities that are happening in December and the holiday time that we just aren't maybe thinking as clearly as we should, and maybe aren't being as diligent to make sure our pets stay out of things as we normally would.
All right, so let's start with, the holidays, Christmas and Hanukkah, and you've got everything wrapped up, and it's amazing how sometimes dogs or cats will sniff what's in that package, and what's in that package might even be detrimental to the pet. And, you know, I've been talking about this for years, and you've been talking about it too. Chocolate. So someone has cookies wrapped up. You would think that people would remember, but sometimes it is hard to remember that chocolate is as dangerous as it is to our pets.
Yeah, it is for sure. And certainly it varies on the amount that they get into and the type of chocolate. When you think about the baking type items that use maybe baker's chocolate or the semi-sweet chocolate chips, those have a lot higher content of that toxic component, which is called theobromine. And so it takes a lot less of that particular chocolate than maybe a Hershey's chocolate kiss or Hershey milk chocolate bar would. And animals definitely are able to sniff that out, even if it's in a sealed container and wrapping paper and ribbon all around it. They can do a really fine job of finding it underneath that tree and getting to it and pulling it out and opening that up.
Well, this isn't a toxicology issue per se, but you mentioned ribbon all around it, or I'll even add tinsel in. In my world, I believe tinsel should be banned, at least for households that have pets, because boy, oh boy, I don't want those veterinarians to be working on Christmas, you know? And tinsel, if ingested, and cats especially, you know, it moves ever so gently, you know, and it's shiny, and cats are really attracted to it.
Yeah, you got that right. And with those long strands of tinsel, and as you mentioned, in cats, they're even more susceptible to it. We can actually have them ingesting that and causing what's called a linear foreign body, where that almost just kind of causes the intestines to fold up onto each other like an accordion. And with that, as time and that intestine kind of continues, that motility continues to move, it can actually kind of saw through, almost like dental floss, can work right through that intestine and cause what we call a perforation. And that can be deadly. And cats tend to be more at risk of that. They love playing with string and any kind of long, shiny object. And so sometimes we'll see that tinsel get caught underneath their tongue and then continue to go down into their esophagus and their stomach and their intestines and cause an issue that way as well.
Dr. Schmidt, I have news for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Santa this year is going on a diet. So all of the people are going to make brownies, leave them out for Santa, but because he's on a diet, a sugar substitute. We don't want sugar in these brownies, because we respect that Santa doesn't want to gain weight. And Santa goes from house to house to house. Imagine how many brownies he gets, right? So we want to understand that, but what I'm getting at is now people leave something out. and it's got chocolate, but it has something else if it has a sugar substitute that I know you want to talk about.
You bet. So I'd love to talk about xylitol. And xylitol is a popular sugar substitute. It's a sugar alcohol. In dogs, we know that it can cause a significant drop in their blood sugar, as well as potentially liver failure, depending on how much they get into. When you have it added to a baked product, so usually a pretty high amount of xylitol that's there, and it doesn't take very much. So if you've set out a cookie or a brownie that is made with xylitol instead of sugar, that's something that can definitely be enough to cause low blood sugar, which then can cause seizures and difficulty walking in dogs. And depending on how much is ingested, we can even see liver failure. So any amount of xylitol can definitely be problematic for these guys, especially in the amounts that are often used in baking products.
And sometimes that xylitol on the baking product you purchase, by the way, xylitol is spelled with an X, Y, but sometimes it's called birch sugar now for reasons I don't exactly know that it's been rebranded, but apparently it has. So you can look for that too. So here's what sometimes happens though. The brownies are left out. That's got chocolate in it. They're sugar-free brownies that have a sugar substitute called birch sugar or xylitol. And the person, because they want to really feel happy over the holidays, add maybe CBD to it. So now, or THC, which is essentially marijuana, it may be legal, but how good are any of these things for our pets?
Yeah, so all of them are great things to avoid if we can. And I would mention also, Steve, it's a great thing you mentioned that birch sugar as another name. We might also find it as wood sugar, birch bark extract, and birch sap. You also might find marketing getting a little bit sneaky and saying that it's a polyol. And polyol just refers to a sugar alcohol, not necessarily xylitol itself, but that should be something to really perk a pet owner's eyes to and attention to if they see that. But then if we see something that has THC added to that, animals are very sensitive to THC, and so even just the smallest amount can cause changes to their behavior. They can become very lethargic or not acting the normal as they should be. They can have difficulty walking. They might have a decrease in their body temperature and their heart rate and their blood pressure. These can be things that can be difficult for pet owners to notice, especially when we're thinking about heart rate and blood pressures and body temperature. And those are things that, as being untreated, can definitely lead to more severe issues throughout the body.
And of course, if it's online, it's got to be true. And I say that with my tongue in cheek, right? So there is information now online that's being spread that if you think your pet is stressed out, you should smoke some marijuana, smoke a joint, whatever you want to call it. What do they call it? Mary Jane or something like that? There are so many acronyms for it, and it's legal to do that in many places, particularly in your own home, and that it will be good for the pet. The secondhand smoke will have the same benefits, quote unquote, that it has for you, it has for your pet. Can you, I think, dispel that internet rumor?
You bet. So overall, we would say any type of exposure to THC marijuana is really a no-go for your pets. And again, the reason is that they are so much more sensitive than humans are for this. They have additional issues that really, as a pet owner, it's difficult to be able to handle or to treat. These guys often need medical attention if they're exposed. They can definitely see those same negative effects with breathing in or inhaling the smoke from a traditional joint that somebody may be smoking. So we just want to avoid any type of exposure to a pet to THC.
All right. So all the family is over for the holidays. And right there next to Grandpa, as he's watching a football game, are a big, big bushel, a big pile, a big something of macadamia nuts. And that grandpa loves those macadamia nuts. But your dog might too, and that, I believe, is a problem.
Yeah, you bet. So macadamia nuts, I don't know why you shouldn't love macadamia nuts, because they're delicious, but animals, we want to keep them away from it. And the reason for that is because only 1 to 2 nuts per kind of couple of pounds of body weight in a pet is enough to be toxic to them. So a very pretty small amount. We can see pancreatitis developing, which isn't necessarily a toxic concern, but it's definitely something that can cause vomiting and diarrhea and some pretty significant gastrointestinal issues. But then we can also see some toxic effects where they can become weak, they can become ataxic or have difficulty walking. They can even have joint pain and high body temperatures.
Yeah, and pancreatitis is nothing to fool around with. I mean, those animals sometimes, not always, yeah, they may require hospitalization. And on occasion, animals do die as a result of pancreatitis. All right, you know
what?
Dr. Schmidt, you've not invited me to your house. So I wonder if you have one of those potpourri thingies that, you know, that makes the house smell like gingerbread or something over the holidays. It's really common for people to do that. Should we be concerned for not only dogs and cats, but in particular pet birds?
Yes, that's a great one. So pet birds have a very sensitive respiratory tract, and so they can have some very significant issues with any fragrances in the house. And so I'm a firm believer of having a bird in the house that really eliminates the ability to use candles, scentsies, wallflowers, any of those types of things that are going to have a fragrance, because they can have pulmonary edema, so fluid building in their lungs. They can have inflammation that makes it very difficult for them to breathe. And so we want to avoid that happening in any bird household. And so typically it's going to be, that's another no-go for me there. When we have a household with dogs and cats, usually if we're going to put in some type of a air diffuser, that is not going to be much of an issue as long as it's not in a small room where the cat especially is confined to. So let's say that they kept them in the bathroom where there was an essential oil diffuser and they locked them in there all evening because there were going to be guests coming over. That can definitely cause some respiratory distress in your cat. If it's out in the main room and everything's got well ventilated, that's usually not going to be a big issue. However, if that cat were to get into the concentrated oil itself, we can actually have chemical burns developing in the mouth and in the esophagus. If it's a candle that maybe they are starting to lick the wet wax from that candle, they can definitely obviously have some thermal burns that are there, but because of the essential oils in that candle as well, we may see some chemical burns also. And that can create difficulty breathing with these guys. They can even have some body tremors developing with them. Fortunately for dogs, they are a lot more resistant to having issues. And so unless an animal has asthma, unless a dog has asthma or some other respiratory disease, usually they're going to do okay with having candles and other scents in the house.
Lilies are just so fragrant as well for us and maybe for cats. But for cats, this is, I believe, a big no-no.
You got it. And lilies are so common to see in holiday bouquets. The bright white of that large lily flower sets up so nicely around the greenery of the evergreens and the poinsettias. And we can see in cats kidney failure developing if they were to ingest any portion of a lily. And so this could be your stargazer, your oriental lily, the rose lilies, any type of that. Even the water that fresh cut flower is in with the vase can be toxic for them as well and cause vomiting and kidney failure to occur.
What about kissing under the fresh mistletoe?
Yeah, who doesn't like a good kiss under the mistletoe?
Yes, I've always said that, yes.
Yeah. So usually with the mistletoe, if they have any ingestion, it's going to be typically some mild stomach upset, vomiting, or diarrhea. If they were to get into maybe that whole kind of chunk of mistletoe, I would say that's something that maybe they can see some difficulty in walking with that as well. But for the most part, we're usually just going to see some stomach upset developing.
And poinsettias?
Poinsettias, they get the bad rap every year. They're the ones where you see online where they're deadly, and always avoid poinsettias. And really the worst that's going to happen with ingestion of that is going to be some stomach upset, so vomiting and loose stool. Obviously, if your pet is ingesting it frequently and having those issues, we don't want them to keep having it, so it's good to put it up and out of reach for those pets. But fortunately, we're not going to see anything severe that would require hospitalization unless they are just continuing to vomit because of frequent ingestion.
You know, there are videos, I don't know if you've seen the YouTube and TikTok videos, where people are celebrating because their dog is drinking beer or something that is, you know, maybe even hard liquor. Especially around this time of year is when those videos pop up. Do you cringe when you watch those because you know what can happen next?
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people think that it's funny, as you said, to see their dog stumbling around and acting drunk. But unfortunately, it can cause severe issues for them and even death in these guys. These guys can have a really significant drop in their blood sugar, which is not something that would be noticeable to the pet owner at home. They can have a significant drop in their body temperature. They can have some electrolyte changes through their body. They can even have difficulty breathing. And so we always want to avoid any amount of alcohol in their pets and to have them do something else that's funny but safe to get some entertainment or find something else to entertain yourselves at the party. But avoid any type of alcohol with your pets.
You know what? If you have to have your dog or cat be funny at a party, I think it's a pretty lame party if you're stretching that far. So,
probably.
Yeah. Tell me about the Pet Poison Helpline.
You bet. So Pet Poison Helpline, we are a 24/7 animal poison control center. We never close, holidays included. And we are here to help pet owners as well as veterinary professionals determine if what their animal got into is going to be problematic. And then we can go further with the veterinarians to help talk with them through all the treatment needs that may be necessary. And we're able to follow that case until that animal is back home with their family where they need to be.
And what is that phone number?
That phone number is 1-855-764-7661.
And the website?
www.petpoisonhelpline.com.
I like it the way I do it better. Pet Poison Helpline, 24/7.
There you go.
Yep, 24/7. You guys are always there. Thank you for being there right now for us, Dr. Renee Schmid, who is the Director of Veterinary Medicine and the senior veterinary toxicologist with the Pet Poison Helpline. Happy holidays to you and your family, Dr. Schmid.
Thank you, and same to you.
We're finished.
That's it.
That's it.
You've been listening to the PetCast Podcast, brought to you by Farm to Pet, single ingredient pet treats. Visit farmtopettreats.com.